No.
All right. I am Samantha Leduc, founder of LeducTrading.com and CIO of Leduc Capital LLC. I trade for a living and support clients who do the same. So I thought I would come in this afternoon with this invite and share a little bit about who I am and how I approach the markets. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of options, but to get to an option tactic, you first have to have a kind of a market feel. So I spend a lot of time analyzing the market and spending a lot of time writing and analyzing and posting my analysis of the market also for clients. I run a live trading room. I am also presenting and doing webinars and interviews about my market feel for both retail and institutional clients. I approach the market on three different time frames: chase, swing, and trend time frames. Some people are very much single threaded. I am, and I do mean that both in their approach, whether it be fundamental or technical or macro, I weave together all those modalities. I'm very much a solid generalist. I want to understand not just what's moving, but why and how to trade it using a lot of time frames, multiple time frames, not a lot of, but a multiple time frames. So the chase for me is very much what it implies. There's momentum entering the market and it's a lot of fun, but don't outstay your welcome because reversals can be quite dramatic and violent. So this very much a short duration and kind of eyes on the prize. Swing trading is very much kind of the bread and butter, which I expect there's going to be a breakout or a breakdown, and I want to position and then add to the position as I'm proven right or get out, low risk entry, if you will, if I'm wrong. And then the trend trades, which are more durable themes. I'm very much into looking at trend reversals on a weekly time frame, versus a swing on a daily time frame, and chases are typically on an hourly time frame. So we'll go over that. But I am looking across all asset classes. So clients engage with me in my live trading room to ask my opinion about particular stocks and sectors. I focus on a lot of sector rotation themes, following the money. So I really need to kind of be up to speed on news and also fundamental case of what is popular and what is not, in addition to just the technical. So that's my thing. I have a backdrop of macro, which is economics, fundamentals. I weave in when appropriate, and sentiment. For example, the meme stocks are not a fundamental case. They're a sentiment-driven rally. And that is also combined with single stock gamma option flow, which is a market structure term for option craziness. So anyway, I then deliver the actual trade ideas and setups. I do this, as I mentioned, kind of because I'm interested. I'm very, very curious. Policies lead price. Earnings also matter. I don't do a lot of earnings trades unless I really, really feel I have an advantage. I don't play that particular game. I'm very, very happy to wait until that drama has passed, because it typically is an option selling game, and I am primarily an option volatility player, which means I want volatility to come into a play and then trade it directionally. So there's a lot of option IV or implied volatility that comes into an earnings play. So I like to play it into earnings, but not necessarily through earnings. Technical and intermarket are very different for me. Technical is price action on the underlying, so on the stock of interest. I don't care, you know, what it is. There's a technical pattern that I can find, and then I'm looking for inflection points for when volatility enters. Intermarket analysis is looking for fractals, which means overlays and divergences. So when that divergence then starts to close, you have an inflection point, and that's something that is extremely helpful to my sector rotation theme. I definitely follow sentiment and psychology, sentiment at extremes in particular. So anytime, you know, you see something that's an incredibly overbought or oversold play, I am extremely interested because I know that outliers revert with velocity. And I also know that there's a psychology of crowd, like these meme stocks. And by the way, that has a whole nother topic we can get into, but there's a lot of manipulation in those particular plays. So understanding not just the psychology, but also the market structure of how dealers have to hedge in order to survive that particular meme mania is also part of my wheelhouse. So what Mark Chandler, who's a chief market strategist and currency guru, said of me was I was able to kind of operationalize all this kind of institutional data and make it relatable to retail. So hopefully I do a decent job of that. Clients seem to be happy, and I work hard really every day to make that happen. Speaking of happy clients, during the COVID crash that we had last year, I was able to spy this divergence in my intermarket analysis and got very, very alarmed on the 18th of February before the market gapped down on Monday the 24th because of my intermarket analysis. And then when folks were really thinking after a 10% drawdown, you know, markets would stabilize and, you know, buy the dip, and I was really convinced we were going to crash. So a client of mine in my trading room suggested that I go on the podcast with Howard Lindzen of Lindzanity to explain how I could see that. And then also when it became extremely oversold on March 20th, I actually thought after a 35% drawdown in 35 days, that the markets were actually at risk of potentially closing. And so I suggested covering short just so as to get out of the risk of not being able to cover those shorts. So anyway, I'm very much into these big events, but I also do the everyday chasing of whatever moves, right? So I'm just letting you know that kind of backdrop is, for me, the challenge. I like to find out what the edge is in the market, and I personally feel the edge keeps moving. It's just, it doesn't stay in one place. So anyway, I consider myself more of a volatility expert, and that's why I look for these divergences. That's why I look for volatility. Right now, volatility has been neutered. It has been absolutely, you know, a non-issue while indices kind of grind sideways to higher, and there's been lots of sector rotation underneath the surface, and that's my job, is to find out where the money's rotating. But I'm also really excited about, and I don't know why people say you can't time tops and bottoms. That's absolutely not true, especially if you make it your business to time tops and bottoms. So my thing is, I like to lawyer, you know, a trade, being able to see the bull and bear argument. But I've been called a bear because I have timed tops. And the difference is I can see them forming. So tops are a process. Bottoms are an event. Perfect case in point is that COVID crash. We had a good month of divergences in my underlying indicators that were showing a sold to you market. I don't have that right now. I haven't had it. It's phenomenal. The liquidity that has come into the market. And in fact, today, $5 trillion was added to household savings from gains in real estate and market gains. 3.5% of that 5% increase, 3.5% comes from market gains, $3.5 trillion, and $1 trillion in home selling gains. So the market has definitely brought a lot of retail folks in, and they only know that stocks go up, right? So they're not going to be so prepared for when volatility does enter, and that's absolutely my my job of spying when it does. So that's my basic premise of how I kind of focus, big picture, risk, and then I drill down to the smaller time frames. And this is, you know, right now not an issue. We haven't had volatility. It will reappear. My stock charts TV predictions for 2021 were that it would be really coming in fervor in 2022. So this year so far has played out really well since my January appearance on that show to give my predictions. But for right now, the big kind of focus of drilling down chase, swing, and trend time frame, and then how to apply options accordingly is what I wanted to share a little bit with you. And then we'll go over some individual trades, and then you can ask questions on anything, anything. So technical analysis, I know that this is really very popular with many short-term traders, and this is, for me, just a tool in my toolbox so I can identify low-risk entries long or short. It's really pattern recognition that helps me identify inflection points and volatility. So I do have some algo-based trading signals, but that is, again, another tool in my toolbox. It is pretty much visual recognition from just doing this for years. I do look for money rotation. I definitely look for option flow. And I use a tool that many of you probably don't know. It's called Options Matrix. It is now becoming available for retail, but it is real time. It is most of the option data that you can get from like Cheddar and even Sanglucci, and I love Wall Street Jesus, if you're familiar with them. All of those services are absolutely delayed, and they are aggregators, so they don't really know particularly, you know, what's coming in. They're making best efforts to relay that information, but they're losing a lot of the data. And you don't know that as a retail trader. I know that because the real data is not accessible to retail, but it is now. There's a product that I use. I use it. Anyway, I'll show it to you in a little bit as well. And I use that to identify flow, but I also use it to check what's going on with my stocks of interest to see how the big whales are coming in to position for, you know, out of the money, and then further dated options that are flowing that shows size and commitment versus the near term expiring options this week or next week, for example, that have lots and lots and lots of volume, but they don't stick because they're only in it for a few hours or a few days. All right, so how do I find, you know, chase, swing, and trend trades? I look at a bloody large number of stocks every day, and I'm engaging with clients on issues that are important to them. And then I'm looking at news, market, timing, you know, is very much, in a short duration, is about scanning and synthesizing market-moving news. So whether it be buy side, sell side, policies out of the White House, or even threats of it, of course, Fed, reaction to the Fed, and all that good stuff. This morning it was CPI, which is Consumer Price Index for inflation. And I have been stating that it was going to be really hot the past few months. And rent is, you know, 40% of core CPI. That's a macro piece of the data. We've had inflation expectations running very, very hot into this CPI, which impacts yields. And then it's kind of like buy the rumors, sell the news, where we have this nice pop in bonds and drop in yields. And tech is in large part a bond proxy trade. So tech, obviously, certain levels of tech, the high momentum plays had been falling, and then they started getting supported the past few weeks, but they're just an oversold bounce. Are they really resilient to move higher? So that's also part of my job, is to find out what sectors are moving, how long it's going to last, and then I determine if it's a chase, swing, or trend time frame. But this is very much, you know, intraday, finding news, and of course, also fundamental reports, earnings. Those can be chased, they can be sold off, all that kind of stuff. I'm also looking at option flow and the IV, the implied volatility, to see if it's in a squeeze. So a lot of these meme stocks, they need just constant feeding frenzy, like the AMC and the GameStops and the rest. They need a constant supply of volume to keep that price elevated and the IV bid before it fades. And it's a huge IV crash, or, you know, crush, when it loses its energy. So those are highly playable. Anyway, so this is my job of kind of looking at all these parts of the puzzle. And then I break down the trade into chase, swing, trend. So this is basically, I produced these brokerage triggered trade alerts. It's a fintech product that worked on three different time frames, and futures intraday, stocks, for those who trade stocks. All my options, option plays, are based on the underlying. So I give the underlying stock price, and that is low risk entry, stops, and profit targets, as well as the option tactic. And for me, this is me. You got to do you. But for me, I'm very comfortable with directional option plays. If it's a chase, it's, you know, directional option plays. If it's a swing where it takes a little bit more time, I'm good with adding time or adding a call spread. I do like financed call spreads, for those of you who might be interested in what that, you know, more complicated for me. In other words, is you're buying a call spread and you're selling puts against it. I typically do it for trades that I think have a trend, so they're 6 months out, and it's a fabulous way to collect that theta decay from selling a call and selling a put. But you're expecting it to move higher, and it might have some volatility to it, but you still expect it to move higher. That's a fabulous way to play with options. But my chases typically last 1 to 3 days, and I employ options that are 1 to 3 weeks out. I don't use big size. This, to me, be is on an hourly chart, you get a lot of volatility. So, you know, risking one to make three. Sometimes you get lucky and you make 10. But the goal is really just to do this when you have the right type of environment for chases, like the past few weeks with this oversold momentum plays. Otherwise, swings are kind of your breakouts or your breakdowns, like the Bitcoin proxies when Coin did their IPO on the 14th of April. To me, that was an absolute trigger to start going in short on the Bitcoin proxies, like MicroStrategy and Mara and Riot and all that, and Bitcoin itself. Now, since then, it turned into a 50% pullback in Bitcoin. But the Bitcoin proxies, and I had every single day, we went over those, and in my Slack post, all that framing of what has, you know, still farther to go, for example, press short, those are swings. They take a few weeks, but it's not a durable trend, right? It's just a pullback. It was a phenomenal pullback, but it turned into a chase, turned into a swing that has basically not moved since. So it made it back down to the 200-day, all of these proxies, and they just basically have been snaking around the 200-day. Trends are what I would call my rotation themes, durable themes. Like last summer, I was really, really bullish lumber, and RFP was a lumber play. I was bullish the cyclicals. I was bullish commodities. I had a theme called, you know, things over paper. So things were going to be the commodities coming back in versus a lot of the tech stuff. And that those I start out with, I want to prove themselves, but basically 1 to 3 months, and I use options 3 to 6 months out. So this is size and mindset that really does matter. I trade small but frequently, typically 1 to 3% of available equity. Again, I'm doing this live in a trading room. I have momentum for both directions. I don't care in any particular case, chase, swing, trend. But the chases are probably about 20% of the portfolio, and then swing time frame probably about 50%. It depends if they turn into trends, because then the trends kind of just stay there. They just need maintenance. So I'll show you some trend bottom fishing setups, or, you know, macro themes, that kind of thing. We'll go over that because I have a whole list. All right, so option time frames really matter. This is a little bit of that kind of, I'm pulling into it, duration. Like, how long do you expect that chase to last? This morning we had a little bump and then it cooled off, right? And then toward the afternoon, maybe it moves higher. But the point is, it's short duration versus like 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. And then I might start off with a percentage of equity that's, you know, 1%. I might go, if I'm really excited about it, I might go 3 times. But it's not that set it and forget it. It's very much eyes on the prize. So the biggest thing that I have with time frames that people choose for options is they don't give enough time, or they go way out of the money. They're swinging for the fences every single time. And there's a time and place for that. But I think like 80% should be, you know, don't trade more than you're willing to lose. And then you can have a little bit of the fun and risk losing it. So the IV for me, implied volatility also matters. The option liquidity really matters. The delta, absolutely. And then of course, you know, how much you're willing to risk in that profit loss scenario. I have a running mantra, don't risk more than you're willing to lose. That's it. So these are kind of a general overview of how I think about it. Day trading buying power is important, obviously, intraday. And some things are highly leverageable, but I don't recommend that. Again, don't risk more than you're willing to lose. So this is a kind of an overview that I share with clients, and that's the trading plan, but they can change from, you know, in and out, from a chase to a swing, you know, to a trend. For example, this happened to be GameStop back last summer, was on my summer list for July 4th. I did my summer list for end of year, and it was my 4 to 40 stock. So this got traded a few times, but it was ultimately just buy it if it's under $5. And then toward the end of the year, it was 11. It was then going to 20. And then I thought it was going to 40. I had no idea it was going to go to 480. But the point is, I knew that it was a really great theme. So I started out started out just buying the stock and then later on suggested the April $12 calls, but that was in November, December timeframe. So that was the theme that I thought it was going to head higher. So let's get some, you know, it was $12 at the time. It was $11 or $12. I thought it was going to go to 40. So that was a trend play. I obviously had no idea that that was going to do what it did, but I did expect that it would go to 60 when it went to 40. And I have videos on my YouTube channel and the whole thing. And then when it got to 240, I said, get the heck out. Like, this is just ridiculously greedy. And who knows what's going to happen in the market is in regards to Robinhood, you know, stop trading options. And sure enough, the next day, the whole market went into lockdown for the rest of the week. That was a Monday night video when it was at 240. Now it ballooned up to 480, but people couldn't get out. Their platforms wouldn't allow option trading, or you couldn't even trade the stock. I mean, it was a mess. And in that duration of time, it allowed the price, the IV and the price to come back down. So now we have a whole new setup that happened again. This was back in January. This was a whole new phenomenon where they came back in, obviously, and the meme stocks, the AMCs, and the rest started percolating the past few weeks. But the point I'm trying to say is you never know. You just never know what's going to happen. So recently, I have been not in meme stocks. That was a January phenomenon. Played that out. I haven't really been excited about that in that intensity because the trend plays have been just so darn nice. So I actually did a presentation for this group in December where I had a macro theme on commodities. It was my value and cyclical rotation theme that I had been on for several months, and I was a big commodities bull for palladium and platinum and oil and uranium. So all of those are still doing extremely well. Crude has pushed through $70 and the oil and gas plays accordingly. Retail has been great for lots of different reasons, reopening, but also it was extremely oversold. Real estate, you know what's happened in that space. Even the REIT SPG, which is mall, lots of oil plays have just been phenomenal, but uranium, ag plays like corn, DBA is the ETF. Shipping, DSX actually came later on, but notice that was actually exploding. And lumber and RFP have been in place since last July, August. So these are safety plays that just really have been, and I'll go over prices with that because this trend you'll see is just starting to get challenged this week. So meme stocks and oversold momentum plays have been great bounces, and cyclicals run with yield. So the rate of change of inflation has been extremely strong. Now we have yield softening a little bit. They've been in a sideways trend for the past few months and then recently started to fall. Talking of tapering, et cetera, won't likely happen for 3 months, but the market loves to front run it. So bonds are getting bid and yields are getting sold off a little bit. I don't think that's going to be sustainable. I still think we're going to have higher yields, but this whole sector of value and cyclicals and commodities and such are due a rest. So that's just, it's nature. So they've been hot fire flames for many, many, many months, and now it's time to digest. So I'll show you a little bit of my intermarket that also shows commodities do a rest. I mentioned that to customers actually last few weeks that I thought that on a monthly, on the 31st of May, I said, I think it's time for this cyclical reflation commodity trade to have a little bit of a pullback. And since then, yields have been definitely pulling back. So, let me do this here real quick. So if you're still with me, I'm going to go over some prices and also my Slack channel where I have posted a lot of these plays. I'm going to use this as kind of this backdrop because these are boring, but they've been doing great. This is very separate from chase and swing trades. These are trend trades. So I'll just kind of show you what I mean by opening this up and... Yeah. So, and like, hold on, let me just get this over here. BGFE, for example, will go over. All right. So Big Five, I love to give credit for this one because it wasn't mine. Big Five was actually recommended by a longtime client of mine. He's an RIA and he asked me about it. And at the time, you can't even see it. It was down here, was $6. And I'm a huge proponent of the 10-week moving average. And just to kind of give you an overview, this is a weekly time frame. This is a day. day and this is an hour. So I use this for the chases, this for the swings, and this for the trends. Big Five at the time had run up very strongly to 847, was pulling back, and it was about $6 at the time. And he said, what do you think about it? And I said, it looks fabulous. So they also sell ammunition, and there was, you know, lots going on, you know, running into the election and Trump and all that stuff. So it looked like a solid technical stand, technical setup, and it has just continued to move higher. Earnings did this, so it was really, really a value play, not just totally ignored. And then this, as you can see, stayed above the 10, stayed above the 10, stayed above the 10, got below it, but closed still above the 10. So the 10 week has shown this resilient trend. And then it had phenomenal earnings and it just exploded higher. And whenever you have this really big expansion bar, it's typical to have some digestion. So this has been sideways now for weeks. And here, by the way, is that 10 week. It could come all the way back down to this 26 area and still be bullish. LB is another one with retail I was very excited about, and I'll clean that up. LB is another kind of trend trading, but we'll look at all these and also as it relates to options. This was one that I recommended for a finance call spread. So this had a CEO that was the second longest running CEO, and the price had just been depressed. And then I'm talking about in the S&P, he had been one of the longest over 50 years. And when he said he was leaving, the stock just moved finally up off the bottom. Its book value was ridiculously low, and I had been spying this for a reversal and just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then finally it did its thing. And so this is one where I suggested a finance call spread because I really thought this was going to move higher, and that's where you buy a call spread and you sell puts below it. So that worked out extremely well. But that's an example also where it's starting to digest. Here's the 10 week. You know, it's run a lot. I mean, from 25 to 75, and that's a normal stock. We're not even talking about meme stocks, right? Nobody's really excited about some of these home builder, related plays and home improvement plays. Restoration Hardware is an example, right? This is also a phenomenal move that it broke above again, 410, pulled back to 410, exploded higher. Earnings just came out again today. This has a different relationship with its 10 week. It definitely, definitely pierces it. And then you gotta respect the 10 week, but if it gets back above the 10 week, go back in. So this is one where the option flow hadn't been so busy. So it's a little bit harder to play this from an option standpoint. It's not as deep and liquid as I really prefer. So, but it's been fabulous. XHB is home builders, and you know what's happened with the cost of lumber. I'll show you RFP, but this has only recently started to trend reverse. So this is what I mean. This is a big bearish engulfing on a weekly, comes down to the 10 week, did pierce it, and now it looks like it's rolling over. So same thing with transports. Transports are just starting to roll over and break the 10 week. You can see that with FedEx. You can see that with UPS. They were phenomenal plays in transports, then lots of sideways and then explosion. And now they're looking pretty weak again, at least a test. So these types of plays, again, depending on if this becomes a sweet, this has to break and get back inside. But for me, this is now broken. I'm looking for a swing setup short. Let's make sure I got this. Okay, and then oil and gas plays and uranium. All right, so oil and gas plays and uranium. So uranium has been way, 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 way left for dead. Unfortunately, that's not a great idea since U.S. is dependent on Russia for its uranium for the most part. And like 50 mines closed. So then it was down to the biggest one. And they weren't making any money, so they actually, closed. And anyway, so the point is, once it finally got above some key moving averages and trend lines and the fundamental backdrop was improving and the commodity super cycle was kicking in, the narrative was getting hotter. We're talking from last year. This puppy gapped up. I don't know if you can see this. It gapped up and it has just been phenomenal. Shallow pullback, breakout. Shallow pullback, breakout. It's still in breakout mode. So uranium and CCJ are really doing well. So these are trend plays, and they didn't really, like URA doesn't have so much of a market, option market. You've got to add some time with that, find the most liquid strike, and then just keep rolling or buy the stock. So these are plays within the commodity sector that have been fabulous, but not always so liquid, like corn and DBA, for example. Oops, that's the wrong one. Corn. And by the way, we have a big problem even yesterday with lots and lots of rain in Mississippi and the Dakotas, and it's causing crop failures, and they're high yielding states. So that's food inflation, right? So food inflation also started, you know, moving higher very, very strongly. There's the 10 week, there's the 10 week, there's the 10 week, there's the 10 week, there's the 10 week. See a theme? All right, so these are all nice trends. What's more, you know, exciting for some people is, you know, how to trade the shorter duration stuff. But I still think lots and lots and lots of money is ignored by ignoring the trends. So for example, RFP was one I did a big write-up for clients back here in that $4 area, and it went all the way up to my price target at $15.75, and I said, okay, I think it's done for now. And it took 6 weeks of sideways. Once it hit that level, I said, okay, I'm out, because that's been phenomenal, like basically just phenomenal. But now I think it's going to get into distribution mode just because it's run so much, and it's far from its mean. The mean is the 10 week. So when it gets far from the mean, it comes back, and then you want it supported. So that was a really big bearish expansion candle last week. Today, not today, but this week, it has broken the 10 week. So when they break, right? So it's, I'm trying to warn. Sometimes I don't have the warning, but the point is, there, it's time to kind of really take care. If you're long the stock, you sell some calls against it and stay in that trade. I know an oil trader who is actually bearish on oil, but is long XOM and long and strong. And when the price starts to get up to some kind of funky levels where it doesn't seem like it's going to push any higher, he sells calls against it. Now, this is a big oil trader that is still using option tactics to trade oil, to trade the energy sector. So this is a very, very durable way to trade, whether you are hedging a portfolio, selling calls above to against your stock position, or you're actually, you know, playing this by, you know, playing further like September or whatever, you know, calls at the money. These are very strong. This energy sector has been very strong this year. It's calmed down for, you know, a few months, but it looks like it's ready to move higher as well. So these are just some plays that are, you know, a focus on trend. Also, swings are a little bit different. They're a little bit shorter duration, and I'm looking for more gamma entering that play. So I'm not looking for necessarily a durable sector rotation or a macro theme, like my bond short call from August, or gold short call that also mimics, you know, the bond short call. Swings are a little bit different, and I'm looking like this type of thing. This was last year before Tesla went into the S&P. They had an inclusion date of 12/21, so pretty much the end of the year. This is when gamma matters. You see a lot of this talk of gamma in options. This is important because the higher strikes that come in for call buying in a particular issue cause the dealer to have to hedge by buying the stock. So let's first talk about gamma and then how it applies. So gamma flows. This is option flow, for example, that I'm able to use, that I'm able to kind of follow. It's part of my quant analysis. Think large institutional buy-sell programs, okay? ARK and the rest, right? The Cathie Wood ETF, where she does lots of buying and selling a lot and has a large position in Tesla, that kind of thing. But large call volumes force markets higher, and dealers must hedge by buying the stock. And the reverse is true. Negative gamma begets negative gamma equals selling. Selling into a sell-off. That's why they pick up. So Tesla was an example where, and hopefully you can see this a little bit, maybe not. Oh yeah, let's do that. All right, so last year, this was July, it technically had a really, really nice kind of flag break that it was about to trigger, but at the same time, remember, since then they've done their stock split, but at the time, this also had very, very large unusual option activity at the $1,800 strike. Okay, this is before they did their split. So at the time, this was like, it was exactly $900 $483. It was still really nice swing trade, but then it had plateaued. It could go either way, higher, lower, right? Everyone's trying to kind of make a bet. Well, large option strikes came in, and I do mean large. And sure enough, boom, it broke higher and continued higher right up into that 1800 level. I mean, 1793 was pretty darn close. So they went way out of the money. It seemed unreal, and they were right. And I see that happen all the time in chases as well, like the AMC. It was at $30, and somebody came in with $3 million at the $59 call level. And guess where it went? More than $59. It shot up to $71. So you can see their footprints. They're not so small. Anyway, then it pulled back, and at $1,400, I saw not only a false breakdown and a wedge ready to break higher, but they were coming in with large unusual option activity at the 2,000 call strike. So I told clients, I bet you anything it's going there. And sure enough, it went to 2,000. Then at 2,000, I saw very large $3,500 strikes. And that was right before their, it got to 2,500, and they announced the stock split. They were included into the S&P, and the rest is kind of history. So that was funny. People are kind of saying, oh, Musk kind of joked at $420 funding secured. Well, it was actually Gamma that drove the dealers to buy. It's the gap from end of August, between the call and the put Gamma from August into end of year, basically said those calls at strikes that were way overhead were just going to drive that feeding frenzy. Retail joined in and dealers had to buy stock. It was just all very, very fun. Anyway, Spot Gamma is a great resource for Gamma analysis if you're interested. And VigTech.io is for all things option flow. They're fabulous. But I have to give it context, right? So I have to pay attention to what's going on in the option market, know how to trade patterns technically, and then suggest the option tactics for those individual trades. And that's really my job is, and I have one job. It's to size up the risk, as I kind of mentioned, tell clients when I think it's safe and when it's not. And I don't do it with, you know, any, like, it's a job. It's not emotional. It's definitely not a man cave. I'm a woman. I'm a teacher. I'm a parent. I care about risk. I want to engage and help clients. They've got great ideas. I'm open to their ideas. And then if I don't like it, I tell them if I don't like it and why. But I like this, you know, this job of helping to identify, first of all, great trading opportunities, identify through my own little, you know, process of risk, when risk is going to enter, definitely sizing up moves on different time frames across different asset classes. And that's really my pitch here is understanding how I think and then the products that I offer. And then I do have a special offer since you showed up today, if you're interested, and I'll explain that in just a minute. But this is where I come from, first and foremost, and then we'll go into some questions if you have on anything of interest. I have a website, LeDucTrading.com. I also have algo-triggered trade alerts. So all of my time looking at the markets, I didn't realize that I really could put this into the form of an algorithm. In other words, math-based, I want this pattern and these indicators to come into a math equation so you can trigger, it will trigger automatically. And some use it as a trading signal. Others, you know, use it as a trading tool. I'll be perfectly honest. I use it as a trading tool every single day. And I'll show you a little bit how that works. But it's found here on this options. That's options matrix on VigTech. These I have three indicators, risk range indicator, go with the flow indicator, and portfolio hedger. And they basically work on different time frames. This is definitely intraday. It timestamps every 30 minutes. And then go with the flow is a daily. So think swing trend time frame. And then portfolio hedger is when volatility is starting to come in. So that's how I use it. Options Matrix is also a tool that VigTech offers. This is their product. This is their lead product. And it is real-time option flow, not delayed, like with every other service out there. They're the only ones that have this real-time, all the legs. And then they have some really great ways of showing kind of graphically what is big. Recently, you know, AMC had more options than all the indices and Tesla and Apple and Microsoft and Google combined, right? It was just a maddening shark frenzy of option buying, $16 billion worth. I mean, it was just a big old green. But the point is they have a lot of really cool tools if you're into options. And obviously, I also host my indicators here. So that's kind of pretty cool. But this is where to find information on the indicators, my landing page, LeDucTrading.com, indicators for info. I am very excited about them also being available on the Apple Store. They're $40 for each time frame or $100 for all three. It's cool. I think that this is also very helpful. I have clients that now really rely on them for their intraday trading time frame and don't even have to listen to me in my trading room anymore. I do have some videos posted on my YouTube channel about it, but I don't do much on my Twitter channel. So there's that. I also am tomorrow, and I'm going to share that with you, but it's new, brand new. So I don't have anything that you can do today. But tomorrow I'm launching a Discord, LeDuc Trading Discord channel for those who are really interested in the Chase time frame. So for example, I just showed you my trend, my macro, some intermarket, all that stuff. Well, Discord is much more for kind of newer or totally diehard momentum traders. And I have my trading room moderator, Rithika, is going to be managing this particular Discord channel, Discord server. So it's going to start out as free. And then there is $35 a month. Really, really cheap. Again, this is only going to have my Chase ideas and my market thoughts and her focus on interaction and support with options. Also the options matrix product. We're going to be including Chase trade alerts this summer. That app that's being developed right now. So I definitely encourage you to check that out if you're interested in just a Chase time frame. If you're wanting the whole thing, macro and intermarket and trend swing Chase, all of that, market moving news, in my live trading room, then I definitely invite you to do that particular approach, which is my fishing club. And that's the offer for those who have attended today. And hopefully maybe you learned something or at least learned how I approach the markets, and that gives you some comfort because I want this to obviously fit for you. I offer a $350 a month membership for those who want to have access to all of my client workspace in Slack, as well as my live trading room, everything I offer. So this is the offer for Synergy attendees, $100 off the first month. And this summer, it's going to be fun. I mean, this is just get in the boat. Let's go fishing. It's definitely worth checking out, especially at this price. I also have, lots of opinions what's going to happen once the Fed comes back in September. We, in the meantime, have lots of opportunities for actual trading without too much macro risk in the meantime, so we can just kind of stay busy and trade. So what questions do you have for me? Because I don't want to kind of miss anything that might be relevant or help you understand what I do. Oh, and I also want to talk about women in trading and finance, just 2 seconds, and also my YouTube channel. So under LeDuc Trading Channel, I have a YouTube that I'm actually trying to populate a little bit more with trading insights, but I have been running a webinar on Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as a Women in Trading and Finance series. So I've had some phenomenal traders like this woman, Diane Schull, who is a trading psychologist to the stars. She came in 2 weeks ago and we talked about trading psychology. I've had the Scott Melker, the Wolf of All Streets. He's got like 400,000 or 500,000 who follow him. He's a crypto evangelist. Logan is a real estate data analyst who is phenomenal. I mean, talk about best of breed in real estate. So there's a lot of value in my YouTube channel. I absolutely invite you to subscribe and check out the videos here. And you can follow me on my YouTube channel, but also on my Twitter handle. And I have two of them. I have a macro where I focus more on the macro stuff, like talking about the inflation print this morning, durable goods were all-time highs. That's pretty durable. That was my joke. I also have more of a micro chart focused and market timing calls. So I post Jacob, my trading room moderator, also who captures all that stuff in my trading room. Closed captioning isn't good enough. So I hired someone just to come in and make sure that clients were heard. They got engagement. If I was busy, you know, doing something, he'd let me know. Also capturing all my trade ideas and market thoughts live in Zoom chat. So I've really put a lot of effort into making sure that folks don't miss anything. And I have this client workspace, as I mentioned, which is Slack, and it's busy. So Slack, where the heck is it? Is what you get also with this membership. And I am busy, writing my market thoughts, crude oil, CPI, safety trends are still working. Some of them are new 52-week highs, which is exciting. These have been on the list for months and they're breaking out still. We talk about, of course, the bond trade because that's a macro trade. We talk about value and momentum rotation all the time. Bitcoin, how is that going to affect price? You want individual stuff, and I give levels on the market and my internal analysis and what's coming next week. Lots and lots of chase stuff. It's ridiculous. I recommended XBI. How's that doing? Amazon, how's that doing? Hertz. This has been, in play since $1.65. No joke. Where the heck is it? Where'd it go? All right. So yeah, here. Oh, that's easiest. Okay. So this literally, I'll put together the price levels above 258 for MDB, et cetera, et cetera. So there are lots of plays that I will put here in regards to, chases from the room. So for example, in my room, I said Cisco was overdone at $50. It was post earnings. It likely was going to get defended. It had quarterly support. So I wrote that pre-market, and then boom, that particular call, what was a chase of extraordinary measure. It was up 6,000% that particular day for any client who took it. Bully for them. But the point is, I will go through earnings and momentum and client requests and all that. So there's a lot that goes on in the trading room, and I do my best to capture most of it and put it into chase time frame. Also the swings that are kind of new, stuff that like NVIDIA was long and it's overshot the price target. Okay, now what? CPE has been a long that trades like flat oil, and it has, now finally reached its 200 week or basically $50. Now what? So I go over stuff all the time and populate in the chase, in the swing, and in the trend time frames with the stop, the profit target, the new news on it, et cetera, et cetera. So you get a lot for your membership, and I want to encourage you to check it out. So this is the promo, $100 off the first month. You can kind of go look at my website a little bit more if you want in regards to pricing, what I offer monthly. I've got a semi-annual and an annual program. If you're just interested in trend trading, I would definitely, I'll get some data feed issues. Getting time for dinner. Wow, I can't show you. Okay, so anyway, there it is. Okay, so I've got the monthly, the annual, this is institutional, and the trend trading, which is just access to the trend channel and my market thoughts and my intermarket analysis. So for example, my intermarket was pretty fun. This recent oil and gas play, fascinating. For example, I've had this for clients that I keep posting because I'm very bullish the energy sector since we had this run up in November with the Pfizer vaccine and the blue wave and all that. So level by level, I've been helping clients with XLE and XOM and Oxy and all that stuff. And sure enough, I warned them a few days ago and, into this week that we would likely tag here. So be careful. We might have a pullback. And then this morning, news came out, U.S. lifts sanctions on Iran, oil officials. And this announcement caused crude to drop like a rock. And I wrote immediately, I don't trust it. That was just an algo triggered, algorithm, knee-jerk reaction. It's going to be fine. But isn't it funny? Isn't it hysterical how it literally dropped exactly the trend line that I've been showing clients? So it's kind of funny. So I do a lot of intermarket analysis, and basically that's a huge secret sauce that nobody really gets. But the relative strength and weakness of underlying commodities or asset classes is hugely informative to my trend and swing and chase timeframes. So I hope that helps, and I hope you got something out of it. Again, this is my Twitter, welcome, my YouTube, subscribe, my Discord being launched tomorrow with Rithika, and my proven algo indicators, which I invite you to check out as well. It's a free trial. So I got it going on across whatever you need, custom support or working independently. And I wish you a great summer. I hope this is just the start of some very, very profitable learning and trading for you all. I thank you also very much, David, for coordinating this, and Anka in spirit. I hope you have a great birthday celebration and long weekend. Any questions? Oh, I didn't even see that. Where am I here? How do I get out? That. Yeah, that's the synergy. There you go. I'll just put those right there. It's easier to find it. Thank you.